Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome in to the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. And this segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Tyler Rocky has the day off. Shane Orling sitting in with you, and Mike Gilligan with us as always today, live on location from Palatine Hills Golf Course. Mike, what's up? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Shay, and good morning, Chicago. Yeah, I'm sitting here literally a few feet from the putting green on the back tee box of number one. To my left, I've got number nine, and I am watching Palatine's finest coming through here. This golf course with this rain looks absolutely pure. I mean, it looks like a carpet. There's the perfectly green carpet. So this rain that we've had this week has done wonders to the canvas to which we play, and today's going to be a super nice day out here at Palatine. The weather's only going to get better. And a little bit later today, we're going to be playing our second qualifier of the year for the CDGA four-person scramble presented by our friends at Jersey Mike's. And we've got 24 foursomes coming out, and they are going to have a great time. Six of the teams will make it to the finals at Bowes Creek in September, and they'll be playing for stay-and-play trips to French Lick Resort. So we've got a full day out here at Palatine.
That's a great event the CDGA is putting on. Looking forward to the finals out at Bowes Creek in September. We'll have Barry Cronin on the show today as well. He'll join us at 9. And, Mike, right now kind of where we wanted to start things is, how has golf been for you this week? The holiday week, the 4th of July, I didn't get a chance to get out and play. To be honest, I don't play a lot. I'm terrible. I'm one of those golfers that I like getting out there until about like hole 11, when I just can't overcome the slice, and that's when I start thinking about the hot dogs back in the when I get inside. But how'd you do this week?
Well, this week, obviously, the rain, like with many of us, kind of dampened things. Wanted to play Fox Bend on Sunday, but got absolutely rained out there, but was able to get out to Glenview Park and also Cog Hill Dubs Dread. And I have to tell you, every time I go to Cog Hill, specifically to Dubs Dread, it is a big boys golf course. It is not a disco by any stretch of the imagination. And I often wonder, why doesn't Chicago have a regular PGA Tour stop? Kind of like what's going on in Silvis, Illinois.
Yeah.
But that place needs to hold a major or a tour championship. That golf course is a brute. It's a bear, but it was fun to play. I managed to get around in 76. For me, that's pretty good. So I was pretty pleased with my round. But otherwise, I spent most of the week just kind of practicing and getting ready for today.
Yeah, where would be the best spot to put? Is that Cog Hill? Is that the best spot for a PGA event if they were to put one in Chicago?
Well, you know, it's funny. I do believe on many levels it is, because operationally speaking, when you look at the infrastructure of what you have to accommodate, from the television trucks to the TV booths to the various corporate hospitality tents, media centers, and all the rest of it, all of what we call that temporary infrastructure, Cog Hill is an ideal place to go. It's very much like a Medina number 3 or an Olympia Fields, where they've got enough territory, acreage, if you will, between their other golf courses, but they also have room within the course to accommodate the gallery, the concession stands, and all the things that you're going to need to create that temporary theater for what we call a PGA Tour stop or a major championship. Now, the only knock that I've ever heard about Cog Hill is it's in the southern suburbs. It's not, you know, convenient to maybe an O'Hare, but it is to Midway. But I feel very strongly that Cog Hill has so many good things going for it that it's a real crime that we're not seeing a regular tour stop there each and every year. So maybe that'll change down the road, though, because I know that Catherine Jemsek and Troy Newport, who's a GM over there, they're always talking with the various governing bodies, and you know, they're at some point they'll come through with something, and hopefully it'll be still within the, you know, the next decade or so.
It'd be good to see Silvis, obviously, with the John Deere going on now. Last weekend, the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit has done a ton in just the few years it's been actually in the city of Detroit. It's become a huge event there. To see something here in Chicago would be great if they could get a PGA event. What do you think that would really mean for the city?
Oh, if we were able to get a regular tour stop, it would bring back the days of old when the Western Open was being contested. Well, actually being contested at a variety of clubs in its history. But as I grew up, I watched it being played at Butler National before it got moved down down to Cog Hill. And having that would be a big economic boom for our, you know, southern suburbs and even our, you know, western suburbs for that matter, from a hotel, shopping, and all the rest of it. But it would put the eyes back on Chicago. And, you know, I may be a little bit biased, but people that are in the know will tell you that Chicago is one of the most important golf markets to any company, organization, association, or otherwise affiliated with the game. We have one of the most passionate golf markets in the entire country, and I just think it would be fitting if we had a stellar tour event here each and every year to showcase our community, our city, much kind of like what NASCAR did with the city and the racing that they did last week. We really should have a regular tour stop here. And in my own opinion, I think we should have a three-venue stop in Chicago where it goes northern suburbs, yeah, western suburbs, southern suburbs, and it rotates so no club has to take it on each and every year. That would be my wish for the Western Golf Association to come through and bring back the Western Golf or the Western Open in that regard.
It'd be an incredible event, especially to spread it out so much across a few golf courses. Mike, another thing with the holiday week, nothing quite goes with the 4th of July week and taking some time off and enjoying the summer as much as golf, but also baseball. And the CDGA took 30 people, am I correct, up to Milwaukee. The Brewers were playing the Cubs, and Milwaukee actually has X-Golf in the stadium, so you can watch the game while you play on the simulator.
That's exactly right. And in fact, X-Golf is a near and dear corporate partner of ours, and you know, we were able during the winter to create an indoor series that went to all the various locations in the Chicagoland area, because they do have 10 locations and growing. But while we were working with them, they had said, hey, we're going out to Milwaukee for spring training. And I said, well, what are you going out there for? And they said, well, we have to do all these promotional shoots because we just put 8 bays of X-Golf in a, what's it, American Family Insurance Field now. I like to call it Wrigley Field of the North. But, you know, but some of the Brewer fans get a little offended with that. But nonetheless, so Eric Ciotti, myself, and a few other CDGA staff went up and went to check it out, and we literally simulated what they went through this past week. We played 9 holes, and then we had box seats, and we watched at that point the Tigers play the Brewers, and it was an absolute fantastic experience because, to your point, if you can mix two of America's greatest pastimes, golf and baseball, and put them all in the same venue in a most quality, cool, and different way. That's what X-Golf has done up at American Family Insurance Field. And I think a lot of other Major League Baseball teams are sitting up, taking note, and will probably consider doing the same. So we had 30 CDGA members sign up and head on up north. They had a great time. Unfortunately, the Cubs dropped the game. It was the Thursday game. But otherwise, they had a fantastic time. And I would highly, highly recommend you go on up and check out X-Golf up there, because you don't have to bring your clubs. And in fact, I would venture to say that most of you that go up there will actually play with clubs that are better than the clubs that are currently in your bag. They have a partnership with Callaway. If you're left-handed, if you need a regular shaft, a stiff shaft, They have everything for you. So that makes the thing ultra convenient. The only tip I would tell somebody is pack your golf glove if you like to wear one. But aside from that,
take a lot of swings.
They take care of the rest. And we had open bar while they were playing golf. So they got their golf fix, they got their baseball fix, and more importantly, they had a nice social time as family and friends together. And that's really what I think golf does for us. It brings us all together in a fashion that is quality, face-to-face time, and getting away from our electronics, our phones and our iPads and computers, and we're out here in nature among friends. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, and the golf-baseball crossover, it's getting even more popular. Have you seen this? Upper Deck Golf is bringing the you can golf at Wrigley Field. It's happening this weekend. I think there are still tee times available. They've basically set up a 9-hole mini course, and you can shoot from different parts of the stands onto the actual field at Wrigley. Are you going to get a tee time in it at Wrigley Field this weekend?
I may not this weekend, but I actually have done a similar deal at a different stadium, and it is pretty cool because what they do is they put tee boxes at various levels, various, you know, whether it's upper deck, middle deck, you know, ground level, and you're hitting shots out to targets. And the good news is you don't have to walk to your ball. Everything is, it's kind of like going to Top Golf,
yeah,
where you're shooting from, you know, a given bay, whether you're on the first floor, second or third floor, but you've got various targets and you get graded based on the shot, whether it went on the green, did it get inside the circle, did you miss the green. So you could be making birdie, par, bogey, depending on what you know, where your ball landed. But there is no pure golf in terms of now I got to go down and putt it out. It's all similarly like a Top Golf. All your scoring happens from the location to which you are playing. So it takes about an hour and a half to play 9 holes.
That's not bad at all. And to do it in such a cool venue, it caught my eye for sure as something that would just be not necessarily a once-in-a-lifetime experience, but something like that. How often do you think you get a chance to play golf in Wrigley Field?
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people that probably go to Wrigley Field and wonder what kind of club it would take to hit from home plate out to left field. And a lot of people think it takes a driver, but really, for many decent golfers, you could hit a wedge into the bleachers without any problem. So it kind of dwarfs your perspective of scale at times, where if you were to hit a driver, you know, 300 yards, that's 900 feet. So Imagine we're a 900-foot home run with land.
Well, I was reading that they said you can't bring a club lower than an 8-iron because they don't want people blasting balls out onto Waveland.
Oh, yeah, blasting them into Waveland. You'd be putting them into people's windows. And that would be ending what we call stadium golf as we know it. But it is a very, very cool, again, another quality, cool, and different way to package golf and also bring in the element of baseball. Because let's face it, the newest players that we're seeing coming into the game are former athletes. You know, they're people that are deciding, hey, I can't play football the rest of my life. I can't play basketball. Knees are getting to be where they are. But they still have that competitive fire. And golf is obviously a sport you can play until, you know, the rest of your life, for that matter. And I think having sports like this or events like this just exposes people to how fun the game can be. And all it takes is a few great shots at one of these to say, you know what? I want to find out a little bit more about this sport. Let me go take a lesson. Let me go hit some golf balls at a range and see what kind of success I have there. And all you have to do is get the bug one time. You get that, you know, you get bit by it, and the next thing you know, you're passionate about it. And that's why our membership now is up to 102,000 members. Wow. We continue to grow because the game is growing. And when the game is growing, everybody, whether it's venues, equipment manufacturers, or anyone else associated with it in some way, shape, or form, is all benefiting from this resurgence. But it all begins either with our youth or where I find most of the newest players, like I say, are former athletes with a love for another sport, and they bring it into golf. And you know, and fall in love with it because it's easy to do. And it allows them to compete because of the index and the handicap system that we offer in conjunction with the USGA. So it allows somebody who, for like myself, I believe my index is 3 point something, where you and I, Shay, could play a game and handicap it in such a fashion that I have to play my rear end off to beat you. And even though maybe my gross score will beat you, but on our net
score, a lot.
That's going to be, but I may have to give you a ton of shots, but
right.
That's okay. Where if we were to try to play basketball and you are 20 years younger and 6 inches taller, how do we handicap that? So golf to me is the perfect game. It allows all of us to compete, whether it's man versus woman, you know, professional versus amateur. It doesn't matter because there is the handicap system that makes us all on paper equal before we set foot out onto the golf course.
He's Mike Gilligan. I'm Shane Orling. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment sponsored by Geneva National. A lot left to do. We'll talk some Ricky Fowler getting his big win last weekend, some of the low scores, and Barry Cronin joins us at 9 a.m. All of that still coming up. The CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki with the day off. Shane Orling sitting in with you. Mike Gilligan with us from Palatine Hills, as always. And, Mike, we have to talk a little bit about Ricky Fowler. And last weekend, getting his first win in a few years, felt like for so long, and certainly in majors, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, but finally able to get over the hump. Not only is he one of the most beloved golfers on the tour, but staying away from LIV, not taking the money, turning down a huge offer, sticking around with the PGA, and now getting this win last weekend. How does this bode for him going forward?
Well, you know, first and foremost, that sigh you hear across the country is a collective one, I think, from all golf fans. We all were pulling for Ricky. But what does this mean for him? This means a ton. I mean, you're talking about an individual who went from 173rd on the world golf rankings. He was there last August when he missed 9 cuts and only had 1 top 10. And now he's moved all the way up to like 23rd now in the world. So this is a boost of confidence. And I think for Ricky, first and foremost, it's so easy to love this guy because he is the ultimate gentleman. What he did at the U.S. Open when Wyndham Clark won, and what he said to him on the 18th green when he whispered in his ear, "Your mom was with you today, and she would be proud." To me, the karma has come full circle and rewarded that kind of sportsmanship, that kind of gentleman spirit, if you will, that goes along with the game. Ricky, you know, first off, he came in as a very heralded collegiate player from Oklahoma State. He was Rookie of the Year in 2010. Now, mind you, he won that award over a gentleman by the name of Rory McIlroy. So he had some stiff competition in his class when he came in. And amazing, if you look at his record, for example, in 2014, he finished second at the British, second at the U.S. Open, third at the PGA Championship, and I think he finished in the top 10 at the Masters. And he's had 2 seconds at the Masters in 2018 and 2014. So this guy can play. But what happened was he lost the edge. He lost his mojo, if you will, to coin a phrase. And thankfully, Butch Harmon has found him and has helped him, along with Craig Harmon, who was at Oak Hill when I was at Oak Hill, who plays down at the Medalist. And he also had some input because Ricky plays out of the Medalist down in Florida. But what does this do for him? it gives him a whole ton of confidence going forward. It now puts him in the conversation of Ryder Cup. Captain Zach Johnson now has to be thinking, now I've got a former Ryder Cupper who's back on his game. I mean, this is a guy who has played in a number of Ryder Cups. He played in 2010, 2014, 2016, 2018. He's got great President Cup experience. So now he plays himself into the mindset of Captain Zach Johnson. And I think Ricky becomes a guy that could easily win the British Open. I still feel strongly that Ricky is going to win a major. I said it a few weeks ago. He now has his first win. I just think it's just a matter of time, and I could see Ricky doing it at the British Open.
And I think he's a guy, he's kind of gotten a reputation that's maybe not necessarily fair. People would harp on him being too flashy, the orange jumpsuit, and bringing too much excitement around. And it feels like now he's getting the reputation he really deserves. When you hear the quotes like, winning's great, but there's a lot more to life than that. He feels like he's very down to earth. He's got a good headspace about him, and now he's winning. It feels to me like things are coming back Ricky Fowler's way, if you'll let me say it, that he's not got that same reputation he had as a kid coming out of college, where he's this flashy presence and he can't win. Now it feels like he's more of a calm, getting over the hill kind of presence, in a better space mentally, and really just saying all of the right things all the time. I think this is the real Ricky Fowler, and people are starting to see that now.
No doubt. In fact, when young Ricky, he was known because of the hair. Both he and Rory had hair like they look like two mops, you know. And obviously, like you said, the flashy, the orange. And, you know, he was a very marketable guy, still is.
Of course.
Has a great charisma, a great personality to him. And I think you're going to see more companies jumping on board with the Ricky Fowler bandwagon and using his image and his brand in conjunction with their own. So I think that's going to only grow for him. But I think, you know, Ricky's at that stage of his life where now he's gotten, you know, married. He's got a young one. You know, he's developing a family. And, you know, I go back to what Jack Nicklaus once said. He said the hardest thing about being a golf professional was starting a family. And trying to be a good father and trying to be a good husband, but yet still be true to yourself and be a great golfer and have time and be committed to your game as you were as an individual, as a single man. And I think these guys like Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, I think they're all kind of going through that phase of their life in that there's more out there. And then when you pile on endorsements and then you pile on those, you know, those commitments that you come along with such endorsements and sponsorships. Now what gets taken away? Your time practicing. So when you're home trying to go to Little League games or go to the teacher's conference or be there with the family vacation, your time practicing tends to become less, fewer, and sometimes not at all. And that's where guys lose their edge. These guys are so very good. I think Ricky is now learning to be more of what I call a mature golfer as it relates to family life, professional life, and still maintaining the level of play that we know he's known for.
It's good to see out of Ricky. 312-332-3776. If you want to weigh in, check in with us. Let us know where you're heading out to play this week. If you've got any thoughts on Ricky Fowler. Mike, when we come back, I want to have a conversation with you about the John Deere and what's going on in Silvis. Some of the low scores that we're seeing in this tournament and that we've been seeing in a lot of tournaments lately, and even in the LIV that's going on in London right now. We'll do that on the other side. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Ah!
with the day off. Shane Orlick sitting in with you. CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. And here, as always, is Mike Gilligan today live from Palatine Hills Golf Course. Later this morning, there will be the second qualifier of the CDGA Four-Person Scramble Championship that will be played from Palatine Hills. Mike, tell me the weather's turning a little bit out there. It looks like the rain has stopped downtown, which is good, but I'm hoping it's getting better out there for you, too.
By the minute, it's getting better. And I think the rain has passed through. We're just waiting for these clouds to sort of lift. We're expecting sunny skies by, you know, noon or thereafter. So it's just going to be a Chamber of Commerce afternoon, if you will, here in Palatine, Illinois. I'm glad we're out further west than we are than you are in the city, because that rain probably just came through not too long ago.
Yeah, it did a little bit on my way in. This segment is brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro golf bag. Now, Mike, do you think anybody out there, and I get this is a scramble championship, so the score is always turned a little lower anyways, anybody going to shoot a 62? A 60, a 59 maybe? What is going on? I mean, I'm reading an article a couple weeks ago, Rory McIlroy talking about the need to select some new golf courses because technology has passed by some of the courses they're using, and so the scores have come in so low. Is that really all it is? Is this, I guess my biggest question is this good for golf that you're seeing guys shoot 60, 61, 62? Jonas Blixt in the first round of the John Deere fired a 62. I think it's Cameron Young, right, is leading right now at 13 under after two rounds. The scoring in tournaments lately has just been unbelievably low.
It really has, and that's a great question. Is it really good for the game? I think on certain levels and certain venues it is, but I don't know as golf fans that we want to see a steady diet of this week in and week out. But part of the problem is these golf courses, when they were built, they were playing with gutta percha golf balls and, you know, hickory shafts. I mean, so now these golf courses, these venues have got to hold up to the latest and greatest in technology, club-wise, ball-wise, etc. And then a lot of people underestimate how far the agronomy has come along in this game. I mean, these superintendents are no longer just guys that cut grass. It is very scientific. It is very complicated based on the various conditions that, especially in a community like ours, where we visit the extremes, extremely hot, extremely humid, extremely windy, you know, and it, we see, you know, the far end of all of these extremes, and these superintendents have to be, you know, on par with what's going on so that their golf courses don't pick up bacteria, funguses that can literally, Pythium can ruin a golf course in less than 24 hours. And so these guys are very good at what they do. And all of this, when you wrap it all up into a bow, is going to yield for some great scoring conditions. When they get the, you know, a little bit of rain, you soften up the course. Well, now they're going to play darts with it, you know, and they, when you give them that type of entry into greens, well, they're going to hit it close. And when they hit it close, they're excellent putters. So the scores are going to be low. But is it good for the game? I'm not sure in the long run that it will be, you know, because I still enjoy the majors where, you know, bogey does come into play and does come into play often.
Well, maybe not at the U.S. Open, but
yeah,
the others. So they,
yeah, I mean, in all the other majors have those moments. But, you know, when you consider since 2000, the course on the PGA Tour that has yielded the most birdies, believe it or not, is TPC Deer Run, where they are today. They have made over 39,000 birdies since the year 2000. So the players obviously love the golf course. And, you know, Zach Johnson, for another useless piece of information, if you will, he is the most under par in the last 40 years on one golf course. At the moment, he's 208 under par and still counting because he made the cut.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. It's 312-332-3776. If you have a thought on some of the low scoring, if you think this is good for golf or not, and there's something you talked about TPC Deer Run. which is a 71 par course, if I'm not mistaken. I have a question that you brought up in some of our pre-show talking. What's more impressive, if you're on a par 72 and you shoot a 59, or if you pull it off on a par 70?
You know, it's interesting. I think it all depends on the difficulty, the slope, and rating of a course. Because if the course is considered easy at par 70, then it's not as impressive. But there are some par 70 golf courses that rate out much harder than a par 72. So to me, it depends on the venue itself. But I would like to believe at a par 72, having to make, you know, 13 birdies to get to 59 is pretty impressive. Because, you know, if you're par 70, it's 11. It's two more birdies that you're making. But generally, a par 70, you're going to have two par fives that are eliminated. So effectively, you have to make, you know, at least par or another birdie three, which, you know, would be, you know, something that it would just make it, I think, that much more difficult or easy, depending on,
right.
Again, it goes back to the course rating. But I think if you really wanted to make this golf, like the golf courses, more difficult for these players week in and week out, you have to narrow the fairways. You have to. You can say we're going to lengthen the golf course, lengthen the golf course, lengthen the golf course. These guys hit it so far, but I think you would only be then eliminating a lot of players that don't hit it as far, and now you've taken the field of 150 and effectively reduced it down to maybe 60 players that now have a real given chance to win, you know, based on what, you know, the odds makers might say or otherwise. But I think the only way is you got to make these fairways narrow, and you have to make the rough penal. Otherwise, I don't think lengthening golf courses, in fact, a lot of golf courses can't be lengthened anymore. But even if you could, I don't think you're doing the entire field a favor. You're actually hurting the field and eliminating some of the maybe older players, the players that hit it maybe arrow straight but not far. I just think you got to put a premium on accuracy, putting it in play, and then, you know, watch these guys go low. But if you're not driving the ball, the old, what they call it, kind of, you know, bomb it and then chunk it, you know. I mean, that's what Bryson did when he won the Open at Wingfoot. He just hit it so flipping far that all he had was a short iron in his hand no matter where he was in the rough. So hitting fairways was of no concern to him. So I think these guys have to have a venue that is more penal and have fairways that are extremely, extremely narrow.
That's the one thing I noticed watching the U.S. Open in Los Angeles, was the fairways felt as open as some of the easiest public courses that I've played. Seeing the PGA, these level of guys on a course that's that wide open, felt like things were too easy. What other fixes could they bring? And I don't know if you want to call them fixes, if you don't think it's a problem that needs to be fixed. But what other changes could they make to make this game more difficult, aside from just narrowing the fairways or lengthening the course? Does it come down to where pins are located? Is it that ingrained, or is there, or that granular, rather? Or is there other changes that maybe people aren't thinking about?
Well, I think, you know, I think how you set up the hole, where you put the tees, you know, so that maybe there are tree lines and you're forcing them to hit a cut or forcing them to hit a draw when, you know, some of these players aren't, that's not their go-to shot. So I think you can get somewhat creative, but you, again, the tee boxes are only so big to move east and west on them to kind of change the, you know, the scope or the shape of the hole, if you will. Obviously, speeding up the greens, any way you can dry out a golf course, you want to do that. You want to make these golf courses run firm and fast, because even if they hit the fairway, but it's got a hard draw to it or a cut to it, it's going to probably roll out into the first cut and potentially into the primary rough, right? So if you had the ability to dry out a golf course, that would be one way to get the greens even faster. Hole locations definitely are going to come into play, but this is also where you have to be extremely careful that you don't create a carnival or like a putt-putt golf kind of a scenario where the ball's rolling up, it gets close to the hole, and then it comes back. So we have to pay attention as we set up golf courses, the greens and the hole locations, so that it's fair and that certain shots can be held in that given area of where the hole is going to be located. But putting to it has to be fair. It can't be so penal that you're putting balls literally off the green when the putt really wasn't all that bad. Lastly, if you had the ability to flip on the wind, the players will all tell you across the board, rain does not bother us.
But
wind, on the other hand, wind is, if I had my druthers, I'd crank up that wind in Silvis today, and you watch those scores all of a sudden start going up. Because the wind, you know, is one thing down below, but then they have to negotiate, is that ball getting above tree line? And if so, what's it like up there? Because down here it feels this way, and you get into these particular holes that are tree lined and whatnot, and you get winds that somewhat feel like they're circulating almost. And so you really got to look at the top of the trees and see what's going on up there. And I've had plenty of times, in fact, just at Cog Hill, where I saw down below the wind's going that way, but when I looked up, the primary wind is actually going that way. So it was almost like you're getting a ricochet off of the other trees that are kind of circumventing through. So wind is very, very tricky for these guys. And if there was an ability to control wind, we would have no problem making these golf courses difficult.
If only Mike Gilligan controlled the weather, you wouldn't be seeing 13 down through two rounds. No shot. Bill's in Glenview. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, love the conversation. Thanks for taking my call. Love Harbortown for all the reasons that you were saying. Narrow, you need to be precise off of all the tees. Not just that, there's tree lines, you know, different types of things you're hitting off of, pine straw to the really tiny greens plus pin positions. I think all of that stuff is such a great strength for that course, and I think those are really good for golf, because I play Erin Hills, and I thought they were going to, I didn't think they'd be able to shoot what they did there for the U.S. Open, and they just destroyed that course.
No, that's a great point, Bill, and you know, I'm very familiar with Harbortown. My uncle actually lives in Harbortown, and you are so spot on about how difficult and how tight that golf course plays. And then, you know, it was designed by Pete Dye, but what a lot of people don't know is that Alice, his wife, who is a certified golf course architect in her own right, did all of the greens. And Harbortown has some of the smallest greens on the PGA Tour. The smallest, believe it or not, are out at Pebble Beach where they're playing the Women's Open this week. I think they average around 3,500 square feet per green. And so that's tiny. That is very, very small. And that's another way to really make a golf course tough. You got to make the greens, you know, little. And if you miss your mark, you're going to be either in the rough, in the bunker, or potentially even in the water, depending on a course like Harbortown. So Bill is spot on. I totally, absolutely agree. And I think what they did at Erin Hills goes to show you the difference between wide fairways and narrow fairways. And that is the difference.
He's Mike Gilligan. A lot to do still. In about 10 minutes, we'll talk with Barry Cronin. Mike, when we come back, I want to ask you, what happens when six golfers make a frat house in Silvis, Illinois? We'll talk about that next. This segment was brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Tyler Aki with the day off. Shane Orling sitting in. Mike Gilligan here as always. The CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. And this segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Mike, six golfers at last year's John Deere Classic in Silvis decided they were going to live together for tournament week. They stayed in a house. They were gambling, playing cards, talking trash. And then one of them won the tournament, and they've decided they're going to run it back this year. It's basically a frat house that six golfers on the tour have decided to create in Silvis, Illinois.
Yeah, they sure did. And, you know, JT Poston, who won this event last year, believe it or not, when that week was over, much to the delight of all his housemates, he picked up the bill. So he's hoping to do the same thing again this year, for sure, right? But, yeah, they did it. And it is the equivalence of a golf fraternity house. And it's funny, when talking to these guys, they said it's like similar to college golf. The house creates a vibe. You know, these guys are all young, you know, single guys. They come together. A lot of them stay together, believe it or not, at B&Bs, but they never, or Airbnbs, but they never can get a house that's big enough. So obviously they found that home last year. So they went back to the exact same house and they're doing it again. And, you know, just like you said, they're playing cards. They're gambling a little bit here and there and talking a lot of smack with each other, just like college kids do. And I guess three of the six went to the University of Georgia, and four of the six reside in Georgia, and three of them are specifically at Sea Island. So these guys obviously hang with each other on a more day-to-day, week-to-week basis, so they know each other well, and you know they're having a great time. So I think when you can put yourself in a position that when you're away from the golf course, away from the tournament, in an environment that is relaxing, familiar,
yeah,
and kind of brings you back to who you really are, I think it sets up mentally a lot better going back in to compete, and having just that ability to kind of get away from it all and be among friends while you're out on the tour. And that may sound kind of weird because they're competing against each other.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they are friends, and they all want each other to play well, but they all just want to play one shot better than each other.
That's what stood out to me. They're not teammates, most of them. So they're all actively, like, truly competing against one another. But it also, you make such a great point talking about this takes the competition stress off, because it feels like, yeah, you're going to work, yeah, you're competing, and it's important that you go play well and that you try to win the tournament. But it almost, it creates like this bachelor party kind of vibe where everybody goes to Arizona or wherever, and you rent an Airbnb and you get seven of your best friends in a house together, and you gamble, you're playing poker, and you go out and golf in the mornings. That's what it feels like. It turns the tournament into that kind of vibe. You make a great point about how that would bring the stress of the heat of competition off.
Well, yeah, and I think JT Poston proved it last year. And so it would be kind of fun if one of the guys like a Denny McCarthy or a Patton Kizzire, you know, Grayson Sigg, Brendan Todd, any of these guys, you know, play well. They'll probably point to this as one of the reasons. Now, if they all miss the cut and don't play well, then they could also say, well, we probably shouldn't do that again. But these guys, this is their living. And, you know, I think any time these guys can have a bit of what it's like to be kind of at home at their own house, at their own neighborhood, their own community, I think it just does take a lot of that anxiety, a lot of the stress. And, you know, you've got guys that are wishing you well when you walk out the door versus staying alone in a red roof hotel.
Yeah.
And you get up and hopefully you're going to meet your caddy, and you're kind of going out there without having talked to anybody. Nobody wishing you well, saying, hey, buddy, play well, you know, do it, you know, do this, do that. I just think at the end of the day, if they could do this at every tour stop, I bet they'd sign up for it tomorrow.
It just sounds like a great way to do it. This segment was brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive. He's Mike Gilligan. I'm Shane Orling. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. We will talk to friend of the show, Barry Cronin, next.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.